Boston fans are talking trash about Donovan Mitchell chasing a triple-double.
And a compelling case was made on why Caleb Williams is getting scapegoated right now in the NFL.
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Tone, what's going on?
Oh, just checking out the politics, Kenny. You know how I am.
But you have been embroiled.
I love it.
Embroiled.
I love it so much. I am fascinated.
I thought you were going to bring up Donovan Mitchell getting made fun of by Boston fans
on
Reddit. Well,
that led me to a Reddit page that had the Boston Celtics going after Donovan Mitchell for chasing a triple-double when they have a similar story. Jason Tatum declined to go back into a basketball game to chase a triple-double recently, I guess.
Oh.
So, there you have it.
You don't say.
There you have it, Boston. Wow, you really got the best of us this time.
Well, I like this. I like spicy tone.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's all silly. Like, they're obviously... Here's what happened with them. And when we had LeBron, we did the same thing when Atlanta had 60 wins. And, you know, we were coming off great seasons.
We did.
And we didn't respect Atlanta. And they were like, please, please respect us. Please, look at all the wins. We win all these games. And then what happened in the playoffs? So in this case, I get what Boston is doing. Boston thought they could casually stroll into this year. Like, all the good vibes from last year, and we'll probably still be the one seed. We don't have to try that hard. And boom, another team is getting all the limelight. And they happen to be a team in the Eastern Conference, and it happens to be a team that they beat last year in a playoff series in five games, and they get to say, we're not really worried about the Cavs. So now you have different websites ranking the Celtics behind the Cavs, and they're like, wait a second, we're the champions. Why are we not number one? And it's like, well, that's not what this is. It's a power ranking, and right now the Cavs are the best team in basketball.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
This isn't... Look, if they played in the playoffs tomorrow, even, you know, without Porzingis, yeah, you'd be the underdogs. Cavs would be the underdogs. I think everybody would pick, you know, with the exception of a couple hot take people that are trying to garner attention, almost everybody will pick Boston. That is why I'm getting excited about this Celtics game coming up next Tuesday. That's why I'm excited. Because win or lose... It's a data point. Now, how relevant is that data point? Probably not that. By the end of the year, you know, we're going to play them four times here in the regular season. This game's on TNT. It's nationally televised. Mm. So people are going to remember this game. But obviously, these teams get shaken up throughout the year with injuries, trade deadline. And then by the end of the year, nobody, if you lost the games in a regular season, you're like, well, those don't matter. These teams are different now. And if you won those games, you say, oh, we have the psychological edge over these teams. Like, this is how the NBA works, and it's just fun that we have something else to talk about, and that's why I think the streak is so cool.
You are right. I said everything I needed to say about the streak earlier on the show. I mean, if people aren't gonna get behind it, then fine, they're not gonna get behind it. I still think it's a very, very small minority of people who aren't gonna get behind it. I think it makes it a lot more fun that fans are being ripped, or excuse me, that fans are going after each other. I think it makes it more fun. I want to care about November basketball, not just because I like basketball. That's reason enough. If you're a basketball fan, yeah, you're going to like November basketball. But the sport itself, you know, baseball's very good at romanticizing and making a big enough deal as they can about the regular about their regular season. The NFL, it's right there. It's baked in. The NBA's done a terrible job of making any relevancy of their regular season. Part of it is because of what happened in 2016. Part of it is because of their players and the teams themselves. And so, yeah, in November, and you look at the way the other sports are. Baseball starts, it's the beginning of something new. Spring is there. It's like, finally, we put away the winter. Baseball is here, even though it's still cold when you start playing baseball. And it's annoying cold because it's spring cold, because you want it to be warm. In fall, you're kind of ready for it to be cold. Football, it's like, we're ready for it. We've got past 4th of July. It's time to go to football season. Eventually, Halloween will be here, the holidays. It's all great. But basketball just kind of sneaks in the back door. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when they knock on the front door, there's football and baseball, and then basketball is just like, I'm just going to slide right past you here, and all of a sudden you look and it's like, oh, it's January. It's basketball season.
And people have said basketball shouldn't really start until Christmas, right? I've seen people have that opinion.
I think it's a massive, distraction to have the NFL there, and it's gotten to the point where, like, ESPN, it's college basketball season. I'm like, really, you guys are doing this? Like, I make fun of them. For like, fan has dedicated his life to college basketball. Every sport needs somebody who does that. But man, I used to find it so hard.
I was living in Syracuse.
But they need a place like Syracuse. Yeah, they should make a big damn deal, and they should hate that I just said that. I don't get it.
This is great. It's perfect right now for us because we needed a pick me up, and the Browns' season is basically over. Yeah, we've got some games to play, but the value in those games, I don't know. Certainly not going to be what it would be, you know, compared to last year.
Yep.
So this comes at a perfect time, and you can tell by the crowds at these games. Like, they are acting like these games are playoff games, and as they continue to win more and more and more, I mean, how much fun? You're the story of basketball. Although I did want to tell you, I want to know if you had any slight, maybe you didn't, any slight to the fact the Cavs were the number three story on the ESPN homepage.
It's great conversation.
Because Giannis dropping 59 against JB Bickerstaff and the Pistons in OT. They got some calls late in that one. And then Wemby scoring 50 for the very first time.
Wemby scoring 50 for the first time is a big deal. You push the winning streak to 13-0, but you beat the 76ers.
I think that's part of it.
59 and 50 are still big numbers. It's like the first Boston, time this year, so yeah.
Had we have beaten Boston yesterday,
it would have been the number one.
Probably different, right?
Yeah. So, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't get mad at ESPN for that.
Well, you know what's going to happen now. I can already start to see that.
Do you feel we're disrespected?
Well, people are looking for more Cavs talk on the podcast. Why isn't there more?
On the radio show.
Yeah, no, just nationally.
Oh.
Like, Tim Bontemps, Brian Windhorst, I mean, they are talking a ton of Cavs on their podcast. I'll check in on Bill Simmons. They didn't yesterday because, for the most part, they were talking about the cup games. And the Cavs didn't have a cup game. So they got to them later. And then
when do we have a cup game? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow against the Bulls?
Tuesdays and Fridays are cup days.
Okay.
But we were...
Until December 3rd, or December cup 3rd dates. Is the last day.
Yeah, we got a cup date.
Cup dates.
We got to keep people updated on the cup. So I just think that's part of it. Like, I do think people are talking a lot about Darius Garland's year and the type of special season that he has been able to put up. So it'll get more. I mean, you keep winning, even if it's against bad competition, and, you know, look at the next few games. Like, this is going to be an opportunity to extend that winning streak. So I think 13-0 is 13-0 is 13-0. I don't care if you play JV teams. You get to 13-0 in the NBA when three-point shooting, you have one bad night, you lose. Yeah. Especially on the road, you don't get calls. To get to 13-0 against anybody is impressive.
You think we're going to get calls tomorrow even though we're at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so.
You think the NBA ain't going to put a stop to the whole 13-0 deal?
No. Okay. I think the NBA loves this. They love building up to that Tuesday game against Boston.
So we might get more calls.
Maybe. But I do think they love the buildup of this because it gives them another storyline. The Cavs were not going to be a storyline this year. They were going to be, hey, the team that can't win in the playoffs ran it back. Like, that was the prevailing thought. It was, they're going to win a lot of regular season games. They got a new head coach, but maybe Mobley. Mobley will take it to the next level. But, like, Donovan Mitchell, he's been here 2 years. Now year three. That wasn't really a story after he signed. Once he signed, it was over. So there wasn't a lot of chatter. Well, you just threw in this massive, massive storyline to the season. Because no one else is good in the East. The East is horrific.
He also didn't do what a lot of people want him to do. And I don't think it's a small market thing. I think some of it might have to do with that fine. People like player movement. They do.
They do.
You know, because a lot. Well, you know, it's
weird.
We had
a terrible trade deadline last year in the NBA.
Yeah.
It was nothing.
Well, this is weird here because, you know, you've had how many? Haven't you had five champions in 5 years in the NBA? Five different ones. So you get the parity that you want, which I've always said parity is overrated. People want one great team to hate or one great team to root for. And I think parity is overrated. But you got the parity you say you want, but you're still not satisfied. Because I think the league does well with drama. the league does well with mercurial athletes and people who don't want to be in the place that they're at. Now, I think that there's a fine line there. Like Kyrie, it became too much. But when you hear like Giannis has destinations on a 1-6 start with the Milwaukee Bucks. It's like, man, they are not going to trade him unless he flat out says publicly he wants to be traded. It's not going to happen. But we like that type of thing. And you could say, well, you don't. And there are some people who are telling the truth there, but their clicks and their ratings tell them different. It just tells them different. Because if you're not in Milwaukee, you're wondering if you have a chance. When we had LeBron the first and second and now Donovan, if you're not in Cleveland, you feel you have a chance. When LeBron was in Miami and we were the number one destination other than Miami, we felt we had a chance and people were paying attention to all that stuff. Now, LeBron's a different animal from Donovan Mitchell, obviously. And here I am saying I didn't want to make comparisons and here we are. That's an accident.
Unavoidable.
I'm sorry. Unavoidable. I'm sorry. But I think with other players, because of that frenzy, because of that reaction, it's almost like we chase that again. Kevin Durant, his first move, I think it's settled down because of the second apron, but I still think that people get excited about the possibilities of moving. Like Damian Lillard talked in Wisconsin that he is absolutely a trade candidate for the Bucks. That he thought if they were going to move on from somebody, they were going to move on from him. That's a big piece of news there. He's still a big name. So we still get moved by that type of thing, even though it's November and the trade deadline isn't for another couple of months.
There is a big story, though, if the Cavs can win this game. This will be the longest Cavs win streak in the history of the franchise.
That's incredible.
Right now, they've done 13 three times before, just not to start a season. But three times before, they were all with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the longest one, and it's without LeBron. I think that'll be a focus. The problem for us sitting in this room is that it's going to be on a Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, that type of excellence, because immediately you look to who was able to do it, and everybody, any Cavs record that exists, we just assume it's going to be held by a LeBron team.
It makes me feel better. And maybe I need to self-examine a little bit more because I don't want to keep making comparisons to him. But it also makes me feel better. Like, yeah, man, it was a fact. This franchise was a mess without him for 20 years. If you had him, you were fine. If you didn't have him, you were a disaster. And it's like, man, you haven't had him for 6 years. He ain't coming back. Oh, how long has he been gone now? 6 years.
Jeez.
You haven't had him for 6 years. He ain't coming back. That's over. You're not a mess. But you're a really good team. You're a competitive team, regardless of if you started off 13-0 or not. You're a competitive basketball team. You're a good team. Like, I don't know if it's going to end with a championship, which I know that's all people care about in the NBA. It's rings culture. But you're a competitive franchise. You've done a good job.
Isn't it weird?
You put on a good show.
Isn't it weird? You just said that, and I'm like, kind of feel like LeBron will play one more game in Cleveland. Somehow we'll orchestrate it.
Maybe.
Even if it's against the rules.
But
no matter what.
Anthony.
I feel like there'll be one more night.
Depends.
In a Cavs
where are the Cavs at? Where are the Cavs at in that time period? Are they still a good franchise with Donovan Mitchell? I don't think they need that. I don't think LeBron needs that. I think that would be it. He may retire on a one-day contract as a Cavalier, but I don't think he's going to play for the Cavs ever again. What were you going to say? What were you going to say? Nothing. I want to get something else off my chest here. This is an NFL point of view, and I don't know if you're going to agree or disagree. What do you think of Caleb Williams? I know you haven't got a chance to watch a lot of Bears, but from what you've seen, what do you think of Caleb Williams?
Saw some really good things early, and then I think what happens with a lot of young quarterbacks is now there's a book on him, and obviously their offense is a mess. I think he's obviously really talented, but these are going to be really important, you know, the rest of this year, and obviously, depending on who they hire next year, somebody said Kevin Stefanski. depending on who that is and how that goes, it's going to be really big for him because how they talked about him coming out of school, they didn't say he was, you know, Andrew Luck. They didn't say he was Jacksonville. Help me out. You know,
Trevor Lawrence.
They said he had some of the talent of those guys, but was not the guarantee.
Yeah.
Right. I remember kind of doing deep dives on this, not to the extent I would if the Browns had a pick, but I remember a lot of that talk. And there were some big risks with him, and you're seeing why. You're seeing some of the boneheaded decision-making, which a lot of rookies, all rookies. I mean, God, Bo Nix, everybody is in love with Bo Nix. Did you see him the first 4 weeks of the year? He had some of the worst passes you would ever see in your career.
Well, I would say Trevor Lawrence isn't even the guarantee that people thought he was going to be.
I'm just talking about how they talked about him coming out.
Okay, that makes sense. With Caleb Williams, I think the only difference between last year and this year is the uniform. I got mad. They fired Shane Waldron. And I go, you're not addressing the problem. You're actually making the problem worse. You have an offensive coordinator. He's trying to get comfortable with somebody. You have an offensive coordinator, and what do? You fire him. All right, well, what are you going to do with Eberflus? Because you brought back Eberflus, and I said, I don't call for firings, but this is the time you make a clean break. There's definitely times I would let people go and move on. And I thought that would be the time you make a clean break. Bring in somebody who's maybe been a head coach before, has had to take care of a quarterback before. Let them come in and take care of him and get this thing started off right. Because they have not had a franchise quarterback since, what, Sammy Baugh or whatever it is. Like, they have not had a great quarterback. Sammy Baugh, did he play for Washington? Who the hell am I thinking about?
Sid Luckman.
Sid Luckman, maybe. They have not had a quarterback forever. And they've won a Super Bowl with Jim. I mean, Jim McMahon was a quarterback for a couple of years, yeah. But they have not had a franchise quarterback. And this is your chance to another chance to have one. And you leave Matt Eberflus there that everybody's counting down the days until he gets fired. I think his own team is. You hire Shane Waldron, Keenan Allen even said, like, maybe he's too nice. And you have this quarterback. You went out and you got him Roma Dunsey. That's great, but you have to have protection for him to get the
you
ball
have to, have protection.
To Roma Dunsey.
What did Harbaugh do the minute he got to the Chargers?
He addressed the offensive line.
What did
line?
They do with their first
Joel.
Round pick? Yeah.
I mean, they addressed the offensive line because he wants to be – guys, it should not be that hard, and that's why I get frustrated with the Browns for. Why is Jim Harbaugh a good coach? He was a quarterback, and I think he knows how to take care of a quarterback.
It's not receivers. Yeah, receivers are nice.
Yes.
Receivers are a nice luxury.
Because it's like...
But the offensive line is something that you got nothing.
Like, there are guys who are cut above the rest. Jamar Chase. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. But if you don't have the time to find these guys, you can't have explosive plays.
No.
Because you need a couple of seconds to be able to hold back and be able to deliver the ball to have explosive plays go down the field.
Pittsburgh had been searching for an offensive line for like 6 years.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And they've missed it
But
because they're predicated on the run. And because they have good running backs and they can get out there and their run fits are good because they have Arthur Smith who had Derrick Henry who knows how to run the damn ball. And this is the Bill Callahan thing. This is why I'm a little bit disappointed. Excuse me. Why I'm really disappointed in the Browns this year. Your running hasn't been good. Your lanes have been terrible. Your blocking has not been good. It's not been sound. You have not been able to scheme up because, like, you go back to Sean McVay, and the runs that he would call. And I'm getting a little bit in the weeds here because I know we have to go because of Browns sound. He would call runs. He was the type of guy, like most of us think about, well, if you run it here, you could set up a pass. He would call runs to set up runs. He would put different looks and different blocking schemes, different pulls, different pin pull situations, just to kind of get guys out of a box. He would turn first and 10 in a run and make it second and 7 so he could open up third and 1. And third and 1 in a run could bust off for 12 or 14 yards. And it would be a quote-unquote explosive run. He would do that. Arthur Smith is able to do that. We are no longer able to do that right now, whether it be because of personnel, whether it be because of injury, whether it be because there's no Bill Callahan. And they're able to do that. You need somebody to help out Caleb Williams. I have to respect the run. And if they don't, you're not going to be able to do it. By the way, do you see who's the starting running back now for the Denver Broncos? The running back number one?
Who's that?
Now that they're starting to get some foothold? Audric Estime.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a big running back who's able to run between the tackles, keep him honest, and then it frees up Bo Nix to make some plays. And we are out of time.